Yes, y'all, to the beat, y'all. Here we go. Jesus coming. Beverly Black.
Yeah.
To the beat, y'all. Here we go with another hot episode. Yes, yes, y'all. To the beat, y'all. And you don't stop. This is the original Star Child, Cool Cow, my man Van Silk. As we do proceed with another episode to give you what you need, we do continue on tonight. My man Van Silk is on the line, eventually getting ready to get on. And tonight, with another fabulous episode, Genius Common, Beverly Black. Yes, yes, y'all. This is Cool Cow, and my special guest tonight, my very special guest, my homeboy from back when we were children, practically, represents to you the world-famous king of rap, the original Curtis Blow. Now, before I bring Curtis Blow on, I just want to let you all know, Curtis Blow and I are family, so this is like a special thing for me and for Van Silk. You know, we all came out together in the very original days of hip-hop, so it's a special thing for me to bring Curtis on and have him tell his story, and especially what he's up to today. So, having said that, it's a pleasure for me to bring on the air my one, the only, the original king of rap. And I have to emphasize that, king of rap. There's a lot of guys that did their thing, but the first guy that they ever anointed, and I do say anointed because he's in the spirit, he's with the Lord, and that's a very important thing too. We'll talk about a little bit later on. The king of rap, Mr. Curtis Blow. Kurt, how are you, man?
Good, good. My brother, Cool Cow, man. Intro, kind words. My brother, you know, we go way back, all the way back to high school, man. And hip-hop is a beautiful thing. You know, firsthand, with all the things that we've been through, man, we've seen it come up from the very beginning. Shout out to Van Silk. I know he's listening. If you can't chime in, my brother, let's get on the call, and let's do this.
So yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Miss Beverly,
who's that?
Hello.
Okay. Okay. So, Kurt, how you doing tonight, man? What's going on?
Fine, man. I can't complain. You know, I just, I'm a little depressed just hearing the news about my homie, Kid Creole, and what happened up in New York, man. That was like something else, crazy. But I'm praying
yes,
for him.
Indeed.
Praying
yes,
for the family. Praying for the family of John Jolly as well,
yes,
and all
indeed
the people involved. And, man, I hope there's some daylight that can come out of this darkness right now. But I'm praying for everybody right now. You know?
Thank you very much for that, Curtis. That needs to be said because this is a tragedy all the way around. Kid Creole is family to us. That's, you know, beyond sane. And the victim, who is a victim physically, you know, we care
yeah
about that too. So thank you for saying that. That's the spirit in you. So, Curtis, man, mm-hmm, let's start very briefly. Not you know, briefly, your story is phenomenal in my eyes. Not only because you're my friend and my teenage friend and all that, you know, but your story is phenomenal. You set a precedence in hip-hop. Not only being an eyewitness, but just what you laid down. And I always call that the blueprint. You know, a lot of guys claim to have something to do with the blueprint. You actually are a printer and a writer of a little blueprint of hip-hop, rap music, and MCing. Give me a brief outline of how you got turned on to this thing we call hip-hop, because you started before it was hip-hop. And I know how you started because I was there and watched you do it. But let's talk about your very early days really quickly, like growing up in Harlem and your dancing and all
you
that,
know,
man. I mean, I'm really interested in hearing about that, and I know the world wants to hear about that. So let us know about that, Curtis.
Well, it was just, you know, it was a miracle time, a miracle place, and just a real spirit that was going around in New York City in the early 70s, you know, coming out of the civil rights movement. And New York City was actually broke during those days. And the buildings were being burnt up because the landlords couldn't get people to move into the Bronx, up in the Bronx, and so they decided to burn their buildings down on purpose. It was a scam, and they got the insurance money, you know, so it became a scam all over the city, buildings being burnt down all every day, you know, this one, that one, that one, and people stayed in these buildings and you know, got the electricity free, and they were playing music out of these buildings, man. It was crazy that how, you know, we came out of this poverty and this oppression. And I remember the newspaper one day is like, because we were asking the president for federal aid, and the cover of the Daily News said, the president says no. And so,
yeah, he actually said drop dead. Crazy. I remember that, Kurt. He said drop dead. President Ford, drop dead.
Right. That was crazy. And so we come up out of that time where it was like the civil rights movement, then you had the drug wars of Frank Lucas and the 70s and the gangs. Oh, man, so much stuff was happening during that time. You couldn't even go to the store for your mom, you know, to get some milk because you're going to get jumped by the gangs. I had to run home from school every day because the gangs are going to get you. I'm standing at the bus stop and come, and I'm running. I didn't even look back. I'm just gone. So,
yes, sir.
You know, we were living in a very dangerous time in the South Bronx and Harlem, and music was our escape. I think God gave us a spirit, a comforter when we were just crying out with the graffiti, you know, writing on the walls, trying to make those old buildings look okay to look at.
Right.
You know, or the trains, the old great dilapidated train. That's where graffiti came from, just writing on the wall, say, my name is John. I left my name to carry on. Those who knew me knew me well. Those who didn't could go to hell. You know what I'm saying? But we were just,
no doubt,
you know, passing the time away. So music was our escapism, you know, from all the plagues of society, like, you know, teenage pregnancy or domestic violence. It was crazy in my house, you know, just every weekend, police at my house. So I just listened to music, man. And I got into this music, special kind of music. I actually became a researcher and a connoisseur of music and soul music, basically, because I got that from my mom. She loved, you know, Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and Temptations, the Motown sound and all that, Isley Brothers, on and on and on. And from the soul music, and of course, Sly and the Family Stone, I studied them too and all of their. They made civil rights music. Along here comes this guy, James Brown. Now, predominantly, the Motown music was one thing. But when James Brown started to come around with his new sound, with his drummer, Clyde Stubblefield,
yes,
that changed the face of music, that beat. Mm-hmm. It was the original boom bap beat.
Yes.
And just listening to the Motown, because Motown was hot. 80-90% of the music was like, tap, 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 baby, baby, baby.
Yes, sir.
And it all long ago, tap, tap,
mm-hmm.
tap. You know what I'm saying? That was a predominant
beat.
But then you had another side of that coin, which was James Brown with the boom. Tap, 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 boom. So that beat right there, which was a little bit slower, but it was funkier, it was syncopated, and it was Clyde Stubblefield doing that anticipation on the snare and the hi-hat. And
yes,
that changed the face of music. That changed the sound of music. And me listening to this music and dancing, I just found that, you know, I got more energetic and I got more funkier when I listened to that music. And James Brown, being the dancer that he was, you know, I used to mimic his moves. He was funky. And that was the whole thing. So my reputation got around the neighborhood as being a good dancer. Oh, little Kurt could dance. Yeah, I'm still flipping and twisting all that stuff. So the older kids came and got me and made me their secret weapon. And I went out, started doing competitions at 13, 14. So I became a B-boy dancing to those James Brown. So it was all about James Brown and the music of Jimmy Casta. And, you know, we had our joints, a special playlist of music that we would break dance or B-boy to.
So, Kurt, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is so important. This is so important to the history right now. And I don't really want to linger, but this is so important, your participation, your contribution to this. So we can safely say you're an original B-boy, because when I met you in high school, and we were dancing. And I met you from dancing, actually, because I was in there a year before you, and I had already been doing that. But you were one of the dudes that I knew could dance, because, like, when you got there, you danced, because we used to be outside the building, just like that movie Fame, which was based on our school. And guys would have to be, they had the boom boxes outside. And the black kids, and I have to say black, I have to say that, the urban kids would play James Brown, Jimmy Castor, Jimmy Bohorn, the joints, the funky beats. And we would dance outside, and you were one of those dudes. And I know you dance, so elaborate just a little bit on the B-boy aspect of it. And, like, what did you do with that real quick?
Well, after, you know, doing all those competitions back in the early days, so by the time I got to high school, I was a full-fledged B-boy, right? And that was 74. Kyle and I met in 74. So the first day I got there, I was like, yo, I'm the best dancer in Manhattan, in Harlem. Nobody can beat me. And I'll prove it. Tomorrow, I'll tell y'all what, tomorrow, I want y'all, everybody, go home to your block, wherever you live at, I don't care. You find the best dancer in your block. Tell them there's a dude who wants to battle you. Come to school the next day.
Battle so aspect. There you go. Right.
There was about 12, 13 kids showed up, right? Plus, we had about four or five of our own people in music and art. So it's like nice little dance contest. So here it is. I took them all out. Be honest.
Right.
Except for one dude. His name, well, I'll tell you this. He went down. He was from Avenue A all the way downtown. I don't understand how the guy had this footwork. He had this crazy footwork. Went down and did the first freeze I ever seen in my life, like a pose. You know how I do now.
Right.
Put my head on the ground and hold my hands up, kick
and
my feet in the air, and stop.
Yes.
And freeze like
and
that,
stop.
Right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You hold
quite
it.
Familiar.
He did it.
Right.
And we all looked at him. We said, oh, because it looked like he had his neck on the ground, right?
There you go.
And
and
it looked like if his neck was like rubber or something. So I said, look at him, man. He got look at him. He got a rubber neck.
There you go.
And everybody laughed. And then that was his nickname. We nicknamed. That's his name. Rubber neck.
Rubber
his
neck.
His real name is Kevin Baskerville.
Kevin Baskerville. Exactly. Fantastic.
Second day of school. Yes.
Right,
incredible.
Right.
But, you know,
incredible.
We were like that in music and art. We were just like, we were always dancing. And I remember we used to just lunchtime, just hanging out. Yep.
That's right, man.
Fun. That was a music
very
school,
good.
So it was all about, that's all we did was the music. We
very
knew,
good,
we knew all the songs. Yep, yep.
We
and
knew
that
all
was
the
actually,
songs. That's right.
That was actually the start of my disco years, too, because I knew how to get a phony ID. I got a phony ID down in Times Square, 42nd Street. You know, you could pay for an ID and make yourself 18, 19, 21, you know, whatever. So I'm 15. I have an ID that says I'm 18, so I was getting in all the clubs.
Right.
After that, you know, after the B-Boys, because, you know, the B-Boys were young kids and we were all ages up in the Executive Playhouse with Cool Herc and, of course, Chuck Center downtown, the Dojo and the Factory on 120. Those are all ages joints we used to go to. But when I got 15, I got that phony ID. I could go into the clubs. Man, I was in Nemo's and Pippin's and Nell Gwynn's and Leviticus and
Oh, man, I was traveling. I was going to all the clubs where you had to be
all
18.
The clubs downtown. And these are classic New York City clubs that were playing
the hottest
disco joints and R&B. And you, those were the clubs that you had to be in as a young person, a young man or woman, just to dance and hear what was going on, because disco was emerging, and that's where you really wanted to be at, just to party. Just to party. Right, Kurt?
Well, that was the number one thing at the time.
Right.
A lot of a lot of hip-hoppers, you know, how they don't like to be considered disco, you know.
Yes.
It's actually, because you think about it, you know, there's a DJ. We have our DJ. He's playing them joints. People are dancing. It may not be a club. It's a community center. It's a park. It's a block party, a house party. You know what I mean? A gym.
Yes.
And it's all ages. So it's like a mutation of disco. It's kids disco, but, you know, let's say it's ghetto disco, uptown in the Bronx.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And it's raw, but the music was different. Like I said, we had them joints, them underground, obscure funk records that, you know, you weren't playing a disco, but you play in the community center and create a circle.
There you go.
Show.
There you go.
So it was two different markets. You got to understand there were the adults. See, the kids couldn't get in the disco, so that's what they did. We partied in the parks and in the block and in the gyms, the school gyms, and in the lunchrooms. You remember? It had grown.
Right.
And they had they had turntables in Norman Thomas High School. Word up.
Right.
Special cables from Treacherous Street. So,
right.
But there were two sides of the coin. The kids couldn't get into the real hardcore disco with the disco ball and the mirrors and all the glass and the fly club and everybody got on suits and ties and silk dresses. You couldn't wear sneakers inside of a club. You had to have shoes on, you know. I remember sometimes we used to have sneakers on. We'd take black socks and put them over our sneakers and make it look we had on shoes.
Right.
And that's how we got into the club. You know, they had a dress club, a dress code. And so it was different, and the music was different. So you had two sides of the coin. You had hardcore disco, and then you had, you know, uptown, the park jams, the kids, the community centers, underground disco, which eventually became hip-hop, because that's where Flash comes out of, from Kool Herc. And then you had Flash, Bambaataa, that whole family tree. But then out of disco, like Pete, DJ Jones, Flowers, Mavoya, Plummer, you know, the disco side. Then you have people like Reggie Wells and DJ Hollywood and Eddie Cheever, Love Bug Starsky, who was at Love Bug, was in both markets. But you remember, you know, there were two sides of the coin, and they didn't like each other. Still don't each other, too. You know, so people don't know that.
But this is the Curtis Blow story. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but this is the Curtis Blow story. But see, I know you were there, and, you know, when I get interviewed myself, because I'm an artist myself, I tell the same story you tell. It's so very good for you to co-sign what I'd be saying. And that's why I wanted to hear you talk about it, because I know because of your experience, you can definitely talk about that. But it's all about you right now, and you were there as an eyewitness.
Here's a joke. I came up from both of those markets, both sides of those coins.
Right.
And I remember I used to go to the clubs, and they know me as a B-boy. And I go down to the floor, you know, they'd be like, yo, what you doing? Get up, man. Get up, youngster.
This
ain't no community center. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They hated me because I was a B-boy in the disco crowd. And then when I went to, you know, Grandmaster Flash and hanging out with them, and they thought I was disco.
Exactly. We both went through that, because I remember. And, go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, you know the routine. You know what I'm saying, because you were part of the Furious at one time, too, as a matter of fact.
Right.
That's how we met up again. I'm like, what are you doing here? I remember I had a couple of years, right? And then I saw you, I think it was Boston Road Ballroom or somewhere.
Stardust, I think it was. Yeah, we were
Stardust
together. Right. We were on the same bill.
Right.
We had a party together. And yeah, it was like
but
I was on the bill Cold Crush and you.
Right.
Those
but let's get back into your career,
that,
man.
Was beautiful, man. Just
it
beautiful
was, man.
Time.
Those days were golden. They were so golden. And that's why it's so important to talk to an artist as such as yourself, because the days that you helped create, because all this was brand new. Now, people that hear us talk and, you know, they're so used to it now. But back when we were doing it, it was like brand new. And everything we did, okay, the fans knew because they grew up with us. They listened and they came to all the parties and they were kind of used to it. Nowadays, it's like status quo. But back when we did it, it was brand new. And everything we did was like, wow, those guys on the mic, the things they said. Which leads me to my question now. Let's fast forward now. Now you're an established identity in the Bronx and Harlem. You're running around. You got a name. Let's go to the point after you made Christmas Rap. You've recorded now. You have a record on a major label, which is Polygram, Phonogram, and Mercury Records. Same thing. You're running around. You're doing your record. You're performing shows now. How did it feel like to come back to New York City and to perform now as Curtis Blow, with a hit record, and let's talk about, like, right before you made The Breaks. The Breaks was the breakout record. Like, you came back, you got Christmas Rapid, and Russell Simmons is now your manager. Everybody knows who Russell Simmons is. So how did it feel to come back to New York under that exposure?
Those were, like, the best times of my life. But I'll tell you, you know, I was the first artist signed to a major label. I had, you know, major promotion and traveling everywhere. It was a dream world back then. And I got major press, you know, documenting, you know, the first guy to go to Paris, France, go to France, first to Italy, first from there. Like, but when I came back home, there was a moment, I guess it was early 1980. So I'm in my hood, just walking back from my mother's house. It's late at night, about 1 o'clock, and then I hear somebody's got playing music outside their window on the first floor in my neighborhood. So I'm walking in Harlem, and so I hear this song. And then it goes, "This is the way to rock house.
Everybody turn it out, right?
And my name is Keith, they call Keith Caesar. So I was like, I was listening. I said, oh, my God, I heard Shara. I said, it's the Funky Four. And they did this joint. And for me, it was on the radio. I think it was Magic playing at somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. You know, Christmas rapping was already hot. I had The Breaks coming out. I was like, this is going to be some real stuff. I really felt good inside that I was a part of something that was popping off. It was been off. You know, here, you know, we had Sugar Hill Gang, Blow It Up, with Rapper's Delight. Then I had Christmas Rap out. Then Spoonie he had dropped something, you know. Somebody else, King Tim III, of course, you know, way back. But then I hear, you know, the Funky Four plus, and it made me feel really good because I knew that they were, you know, real OGs in the game from the Bronx.
Right.
And they got the opportunity to make a record like I did. Because at that time, cats was looking at me like they didn't know that I went all the way back to whenever.
I know.
They said this is the first time the Bronx ever heard of Curtis Blow in 1979, pretty much. You know, a few cats knew me, you know, but no, it was like, I'm Sugar Hill Gang. So you know how the Bronx looked at the Sugar Hill Gang. Like, they ain't
exactly
from the Bronx. The guys from the Bronx should be making records. So I went into all of that mode. But then when I heard the Funky Four Plus One More, I said, we all have an opportunity. The Bronx is getting into this now. And that's beautiful. We are jumping off now. We hot now. Careers can be launched. Everybody can get paid. Everybody can get some money. No, boy. It's all in problem.
That's really good. That's beautiful, man. It's great to hear you say that. And these guys from the Bronx,
I don't care how many years ago it was, they all need to hear my man say that, because I know how he felt, because I was there. And I remember when he made the breaks. I remember when that first check came in, and we were like, oh, my God. Look at, you know, it was just amazing. Because as a recording artist, you get that recording artist money. We all know what the road is like, but to get that recording artist money, and then, like, this guy is running around like he's doing major stuff. He's on stage. And, okay, the Apollo is phenomenal, but the Madison Square Garden and the acts he's opening for, and then he's not even opening anymore. He's like the major artist, and he's slaying these dudes, these bands. And this is hip-hop. This is a DJ and an MC, and they don't even understand what he's doing. And, like, the world needs to understand what that meant back in those days. That's why I spent so much time when I talked to you, Curtis, because the world is familiar with that now, but in those days, that was phenomenal. Like, what is this guy doing? He's not even singing. He's rhyming. What is rhyming? And that's what my man did to the world. He put it on them, and that's a phenomenal thing to me, because I'm an MC too, and I just know what he did, and he just smacked him in the face with it, and he didn't think it was like, he didn't get cocky with it. He just did his thing and just kept on and just kept on and just kept on, and he was humble with it. That's one thing Curtis Blow always has been. He's never been souped up about it. I can verify that part. Now, you had major success early on, back in the early days. You were the first major recording artist from the hip-hop world to do a commercial. You made a Sprite commercial for Coca-Cola. That was a major thing. Now, look how many artists. One of their main goals is to get a major endorsement. That's part of the game now. You have to, you know, represent some major company. That's part of the deal. Kurt is the first artist to do that. Coca-Cola, Sprite. Kurt did that. Kurt has many, many firsts in the rap game.
Thank you, Beverly Page. I got to shout out Beverly Page. She
no
made
doubt,
it happen.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Because Kurt made those moves, and they recognize that. They put him in there, and he did that. And he did it well. Let's fast forward now to the point where now rap is well established. You have an established career, and then you moved to the side and started producing. Tell us a little bit about the producing side, where you decide to express your talents as a producer.
Well, you know, actually, that's a big part of my success, because I use technology to, well, actually it started with education, just being in college. I would say this, that education is the key to success. Doing research, finding out about what you want to do, what you want to get into, do the research on it, and just apply it. Apply that information to your action, and that's how you become successful. But with regards to music and production, you know, it's just one of the things is, it's like, you know, you want to help people. You're in a position to help people. And that's what I did, you know, pretty much so with Orange Juice Jones and Allison Williams and Lovebug Starsky and Sweet G and the Fat Boys, Run DMC, LL Cool J, the Fugees. And working with these groups, I just found out
Cool
that,
Cow and Billy Bill.
Right. Yes. And working with my friends, you know, you just want to, as a producer, I found out that your job is, you know, you're trying to make a dream come true. So a person has a dream, and you're there just to make it a reality.
Right.
So whatever that vision, that musical number is, you want to bring it home for that artist and make sure that they're happy with the end result, and it's exactly what they dreamed it could be. And so I find myself, as an artist and producing artist, I think the best producers are retired artists.
Okay.
Because they can relate to what the artist is feeling in the studio, and they want to make sure that they're comfortable, and they want to make sure that they're, you know, easy with what they're doing, and they're not tense or nervous or stressed or angry. You know, you want them happy. Maybe a nice glass of wine might loosen them up.
you know, right. Get the best out of your artists. So to get the best out of your vocals, you have to make sure that everything is okay. They don't have any family problems or back home arguments or, you know, static or whatever. Everything has to be okay for the artist. Whether it's a musician, you know, you have to make sure that they're comfortable in what they're doing. And spiritually, they're right, because you get the best out of them that way.
Right.
And it's a fun job just seeing people's dreams come true, especially like the Fat Boy sitting with his, I remember Buff, rest in peace, he was like, yo, Kurt, all I want is a car. And he got a house, a car, a boat, everything. He's the man.
Right.
Man. But just to see
right.
friends making people happy, like Orange Juice Jones, you know, we go back. Our mothers were best friends, and we used to have the same babysitters when we were babies. And
wow.
So we went to elementary school, my brother's best friend for life, you know, rest in peace. And and so got him his record deal. He could sing a little bit. Him and my older brother, when I was a baby, 5 and 6, and they were 8 and 9, and they had a singing group. So I knew Orange Juice Jones, we call him Juice. I knew he could sing from back in the days when he was 12, 13. And so I got him a deal. And he made that song, In the Rain, number one record.
That's right.
My
That's
buddy.
Right.
So stuff
That's
like
right.
that. It's just a lot of miracles, a dream world. Again, just giving back and trying to help people, you know.
Excellent.
Amen.
I just want to, amen. Indeed, my brother. I just want to remind everybody right now, this is Hip Hop You Don't Stop. Bruce George, Beverly Brack, Black Genius Common. Once again, Hip Hop You Don't Stop. Cool Kyle and my man Van Silk, and our special guest tonight is Mr. Curtis Blow. And it's a pleasure to talk to him as we do continue on. Kurt, I really want to ask you, you know, you and I are personal, and we, you know, we talk like every day, so. But let's get into you just a little bit right now at this point. Let us know, has there ever been a time in your career where, and you've had major success, where let's share something kind of personal, where you felt mm-hmm. like, well, you know, things, I've achieved a lot of things, but like right about now, I'm kind of tight, I'm kind of discouraged, and I know mm-hmm. what I've done, I know what I can do, but I'm really like annoyed right now, and I need to redirect myself, and like, what do mm-hmm. I do now? Has that ever occurred to you? And mm-hmm. if that did occur to you, how did you
yeah.
rechannel yourself to become the fabulous, sensational man and artist you are right now?
Amen. Praise God. Actually, I'll tell this story. This is some real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In philosophy, I had a philosophy class that in my Bible studies, going to get my degree to be a minister. And
yes.
we had this philosophy class, and there's a word, a Greek word called the telos. And what it means is your purpose, your reason for being here, your telos. And everybody looks for their telos. In life, we all try to find our purpose, you know. The purpose of an acorn is to become an oak tree. The purpose of a little caterpillar is to become a butterfly. But men and women, we don't know our telos. We all have to. God gives us two things. He gives us a brain and a free will choice. Our choices we make that can lead us to a path of finding who we really are as and our purpose on this earth. So, you know, what is your purpose? I thought it was to be a rapper. You search and search. We all want to be happy. Nobody wants pain, right? It's all pleasure against pain. We all want to be happy. But what is happiness? What really brings you happiness? Is it money? You know, the more money I got, the more I want it. Just made me grieve. Is it drugs? Is it sex drugs? The more drugs I got, the more I want it.
people dying left and right, drug overdoses. Let's be smart. I don't want to die real quick like this. Sex, the more sex I got, the more I want. You know, I got to the mountaintop, and I was like, wow, this is it? This is all there is? You know? Like,
right.
Wow, what else is there? Points you were talking about. I got frustrated, like, wow, you know what? You know what I did? I picked up the Bible. I started reading the Bible. And it really got interesting with me. I mean, like, wow. I was like, in between those times of hanging out, doing shows and having sex and sinning and drugs and all of that. In between that, I'd pick up the Bible when I was getting bored, just getting bored with life. I didn't want no more to look. Oh, I'm tired of this. So it got interesting. I read the Old Testament, you know, from Genesis. All these old stories in the Bible. I was loving this stuff. I remember seeing this stuff as a kid, you know, Samson and Delilah and the robe and the gladiators and all this stuff, man. It was incredible to me. So I figured out I had an old soul, and I kept reading. I was like, wow, I got up to King Job, Solomon and Isaac and Jacob, and oh my God, this guy with the slingshot beat the giant.
Oh yeah.
Solomon's dad is the king. Oh my gosh, the king of the Jews, one of the king of the Jews after Moses. Well, anyway, all these different stories.
Right,
then I got to the New Testament and read about Jesus. And all the different stories of Jesus. He's a great healer. All this. Blah, blah, blah. Then I got to the book of Revelations. When I got to Revelations, the end of the Bible, my friend, that was it for me. That was a change in my life. I saw the vivid imagery. I don't want to say I'm hell scared. But it just clicked with me that, you know, our real purpose, our real telos on this planet is to serve God and find God. And anything other than that leads to death and destruction. But once you at least searching, going down that path of to be godlike, to be more godlike, to serve God, to help your fellow man, to be good, basically be good against evil. And, wow, that's all we have. That's all it is, man. You know, help somebody. Once you get on top, hey, help somebody. You know? So that's when I started going to church and really living life fuller, you know, really just trying to be there for my sons, my family, just loving every day of life to be here because God wills it. And I started searching for the kingdom, going to church. Like I said, I read the whole Bible. I had Bible study at my house. And eventually became a minister, went back to school and became ordained and licensed as a minister. And now I preach the gospel. A fisher of men, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To God be the glory.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
I got saved in 94, Church on the Way, Pastor Jack Hayford. Big shout out to Reverend Dr. Stephen Poe and the new bishop. I'll be preaching next Sunday, August 12th.
Next Sunday. Yes.
August 13th. I'll be preaching. Yeah. And August 12th, I'll be the keynote speaker at Church Day in the Bronx. And big shout out to Bishop Dr. Reverend Timothy Burkett, the Church Alive Community Church up in the Bronx, y'all. Around the corner from the 371. Could you imagine that, Kyle? There's a church.
That's amazing,
I'm preaching.
Coach. That's amazing.
I'm preaching
that's
there.
Amazing.
On the 13th, I'll be preaching around the corner from the 371.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean,
they went full circle. You know what I'm saying?
Full
they
circle.
Went full circle.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, the Club 371 is one of our bona fide hip-hop legendary clubs where...
Yeah, tell them about it, Kirk. Please tell them. Let them know
that
what
was
significance
a club
that means. Yeah.
At one time, it was the number one club in New York City. That's how the Bronx got its name, the Boogie Down Bronx. To be for real.
Yes, sir.
Stop playing. If you say anything different, we're going to have a debate. But
yes,
it was
sir.
Frequently by these DJ Hollywood, Eddie Cheever, Love Buck Starsky, and Reggie Wells, the four DJs, they used to alternate upstairs and downstairs. And it was packed inside out, a line around the corner every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was an incredible
yes,
spot for about 76 to 80, about 4 or 5 years.
Yes,
until
sir.
The Disco Fever came out. Now, everybody heard of Disco Fever. That's my spot. Me and Flash and Love
mm-hmm.
Bug was there, too. And
We lived in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was our spot from 79 to about 85.
Yes,
so that's the history of the club business in the Boogie Down.
Home of hip-hop.
Home of hip-hop, no doubt. Love you, Bronx. We'll be there. Don't forget, August 12th, Bronx Church Day, great day in hip-hop. We're honoring the Hip Hop Boulevard 5. Y'all know we got a Hip Hop Boulevard in the Bronx, right outside of 1520 Cedric Avenue. Cool Herc lived and gave his first back-to-school party with his sister, Cindy Campbell, back in 73.
Uh-huh.
So they renamed it Hip Hop Boulevard. Five
officially
initiated
officially.
That, five dudes that initiated that never got the credit. So we're gonna honor them, the Hip Hop Boulevard 5. Their names are Jacob Morris, Terry Nelson, Al Pizarro, his son Alex Pizarro, and my boy DJ Extraordinaire from the Crow Crush, this DJ Tony Tone. Tony Crow Crush.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So we'll be honoring them, plus, of course, you know, the hip-hop pioneers who made it happen. And our fallen soldiers, our fallen heroes of hip-hop, man, we're going to honor them as well and invite their families out. It's Church Day. It is a great day, August 12th from 12 to 5 p.m., right on the Bronx Courthouse steps, 161st Street, in the Grand Concourse over there by, what do they call that row? That strip of land on the concourse. Hip Hop
Row? They call, it has its own name, yeah, the Hip Hop Row or something like that. But it's like right
but
across the street from the Yankee Stadium and Jerome Avenue
no,
train and all
here
that.
Here it is. The Hip Hop Walk of Fame.
There you go. Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The Bronx Walk of Fame. I'm sorry. Bronx Walk of
Bronx,
Fame.
Right. Bronx Walk of Fame. Phenomenal day for the Bronx.
Right. So that's
yes.
August 12th, y'all. Come Yankees. The Yankees will be out there. We're going to have
yes.
15, 20,000 people out there that day. It's Bronx Church Day, but we're honoring hip-hop. All right? God meets hip-hop. August 12th, 12 to 5.
Yes, sir. And by the way, everybody, I will be the host, Cool Kyle. Backed up by my man Curtis Blow, Van Silk, the ambassadors of hip hop. This is a very special day for us. We're honoring people that should be honored. And it's also Bronx Church Day, which is so important. The spirit is there. All praise
amen.
Be. And amen. Yes. Yes, that's very important. Curtis, at
yeah.
this point, I'd like for you to let everybody know what you're doing artistically right now. I know you're getting ready to go on tour. Of course, I know that. But let's let the world know, what are you up to right now creatively, artistically?
I'm thinking about recording this Christmas album. I have a Christmas album. And the name is going to be The Christmas Rapper.
Okay.
And, of course, I was going to put my first song, Christmas Rap, on the album as well. There never was a whole Christmas album that I did from my first song. So I have a whole lot of awesome, nice songs I put together. But I don't know if I'm going to put it out this year. Maybe next year. Maybe I'll put out one of the singles this year or something. But besides that, I am going on tour with the Hip Hop Nutcracker. You guys can check out all the dates, about 40 shows. This is our fourth year with this play. It's an incredible family fun night out on the town for the holidays between November and December. We're working all the way up until January. So it's a b-boy break dancing ballet take and a take on the classic Tchaikovsky Nutcracker, and it's incredible. I'm the host. I come out in the beginning and get everybody ready for the play and bring them back to the old school, and you know, it's a whole night. I come back out in the finale as well and sing the breaks with the cast and crew, and we all out there wilding out. So it's a nice night out for the family. Great family fun for the holiday tradition. The Hip Hop Nutcracker. So coming to a city near you, November, December. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Phenomenal.
All right.
I know you're getting ready to,
HipHopGlobalMobile.com. That's the cell phone service. We have an incredible cell phone service. Go to that website, click on Get Started, and get yourself some savings for the community. We have rate plans as low as $10. Incredible fidelity. Hip Hop Global Mobile, my new cell phone network, a brand new cell phone network for the people, by the people. Pop and buy hip hop. Hip Hop Global Mobile, y'all. Check it out.
Excellent. You know what, Kurt? I never really do this. Van Soap usually does this. I know Kev Rockwell has a set that he plays at some point. I know we're getting toward that point. Beverly, can you hear me? If you can hear me, you need to patch yourself in and let me know. I'll be ready.
I can absolutely hear you, gentlemen. And I want to thank you,
good.
Mr. Curtis Blow, for being here on the show. I know I've been bugging you for a while now. But God is so good. And Cool Kyle,
amen.
You know you killed it, and I appreciate you. Hip-hop,
thank you
don't
Beverly.
Stop. And so you gentlemen have a very, very blessed August 12th naming of Hip Hop Boulevard, and do your thing, and love, peace, and soul goes out to Kid Creole.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what you say, Bobby. Salute to my man, Van Silk. Salute to my man, my homeboy, my childhood friend, Mr. Curtis Walker, a.k.a. PKA. And for y'all that don't know, that means professionally known as Curtis Blow, King of Rap, Bruce
All
George,
right.
Jesus Common, my girl, Beverly Black, Hip Hop, You Don't Stop. And this is another explosive episode of our show we call Hip Hop, You Don't Stop. Don't have a great night, and we do proceed to give you what you need. We just did that. We do continue on. Coming up next, our boy Kev Rockwell to the depths of hell from the Fantastic Five MCs. He does his thing. Good night, y'all. Have a great night.
Good night. God bless. And see you on the next episode, August 18th. Hip Hop, You Don't Stop.
No doubt. Yes, sir.
This
all right,
Curtis. Cool, Kyle.
All right.
Checking in on Hot Rod Radio, Winning with Hip Hop Radio Show, Life and Lifestyle. Yep, I'm with my man, the greatest of them all, Hip Hop Ambassador, DJ Kev Rockwell. Make sure you check us out, Text the Mix. This is Van Silk and Cool Kyle. They're out.
DJ Kevy Kev Rockwell.
sweet sensation. Then we had to have that terrible confrontation. Now all I can do to help this situation.
I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but we're like hot butter on for the breakfast toast. Rock it out. A baby bubba, baby bubba to the boogie, the bang bang, the boogie to the beat. Beat is so unique. Come on, everybody, and dance to the beat. The boogity bang bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. I say I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat. And attempt to raise your body heat, but just blow your mind so well, that you can't speak to do a thing. But a rock and a shuffle your feet, and later change up to a dance called the freak. And when you finally do come into your rhythmic feet, rest a little while so you don't get weak. I know a man in Hank, he has more rhymes than a serious bank. So come on, Hank, I sing that song until the rhythm of the boogity bang bang the bomb. Well, I'm dimp, the ladies pimp, the women fight for my delight, but I'm the grand master with the three MCs that shop the house for the young ladies. And when you come inside into the front, you do the freak bank and do the bump. And when the sucker MCs try to prove a point with Trevor's trio, I win the serious joint. From sun to sun and from day to day, I sit down and write a brand new rhyme, because they say that miracles never cease. I've created a devastating masterpiece. I'm gonna rock the mic so you can't resist. Everybody, I say it goes like this. I was coming home late one dark afternoon. Reporter stopped me for an interview. She said she's heard stories and she's heard fables that are vicious on the mic and the turntable. This young reporter I did adore. So I rocked a vicious rhyme like I never did before. She said, damn, fly guy, I'm in love with you. A Casanova legend must have been true. I said, by the way, baby, what's your name? Said I go by the name Lois Lane. And you can be my boyfriend, you surely can. Just let me quit my boyfriend called Superman. I said, he's a fairy, I do suppose. Flying through the air, a panty. He may be very sexy or even cute, but he looks like a sucker in a blue and red suit. I said, you need a man who's got finesse and his whole name across his chest. He may be able to fly all through the night, but can he rock a party till the early light? He can't satisfy you with his little worm, but I can bust you out with my super sperm. I go do it, I go do it, I go do it, do it, do it. And I'm here, and I'm there. I'm Big Bang Hank, I'm everywhere. I just throw your hands up in the air and party hard like you just don't care. Let's do it. I don't stop, y'all. I take a talk, y'all. You don't stop. I go hotel, motel. And what you gonna do today? If I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a death OJ. Everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take a friend. I say skip. Can I say, I can't fit them all inside my OJ, so I just take half and bust them out. I give the rest to Master D so he can shock the house.
It was 12 o'clock to 1 Friday night. I was rocking to the beat, feeling all right. Everybody was dancing on the floor, just doing all the things they never did before. And then the fly, fly girl with a sexy lead. She came into the bar, she came into the scene. As she traveled deeper inside the room, all the fellas checked out her white ass shoe. She came up to the table, looked into my eyes, then she turned around and shook her behind. So I said to myself, it's time for me to release my vicious rhyme. I call my masterpiece. And now people in the house, this is just for you. A little rap to make your boogaloo. Now the group you hear is called Phase 2. And let me tell you something, we're a hell of a crew. Once a week, we're on the street just to cut the jam and make it free. For you to party, they got to have the mood. So we'll get right down and give you a groove. For you to dance, you got to be hot. So we'll get right down and make it rock. Now put them on and the girls are there. You definitely have a rockin' affair. But let me tell you something, it's still one fact that to have a party, got to have a rap. So when the party's over, you're making it home and trying to sleep before the break of dawn. And while you're sleeping, you start to dream and think of how you dance on a disco scene. A name appears in your mind, yeah, a name you know that was right on time. It was Phase 2, I just a do and a do, rocking you down cause you don't be cool to the rhythm of the beat that makes you free. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. To the rhythm of the beat, to the double beat, beat that makes to the rhythm of the beat that says you go on and on until the break of dawn. I got the man coming on right now. He's guaranteed you don't doubt. He goes by the name of Wonder Mike. Come on, Wonder Mike, do what you like.
I say a can of beer that's sweeter than honey, like a millionaire that has no money, like a rainy day that is not wet, like a gambling fiend that does not bet, like Dracula without his fangs, like the boogie to the boogie without the boogie bang, like collard greens that don't taste good, like a tree that's not made out of wood. Like going up and not coming down, it's just like the beat without the sound of down to the beat, beat,
a freak, everybody just rock and dance to the beat. Have you ever went over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni's soggy, the peas almost, and the chicken tastes like wood. So you try to play it off like you think you can by saying that you're full. And then your friend says, Mama, he's just being polite. He ain't finishing all that food. So your heart starts pumping and you think of a lie and you say that you already ate. And your friend says, man, there's plenty of food, so keep piling for more on your plate. But while the sticky food's steaming, your mind starts to dream of the moment it's time to leave. And then you look at your plate and your chicken's fully rotting into something that looks like cheese. Oh, so you say, that's it, I got to leave this place. I don't care what these people think. I'm just sitting here making myself nauseous with this ugly food that stinks. Oh, so you bust out the door while it's still closed, still sick from the food you ate. And then you run to the store for quick relief from a bottle of K.O. Pectate. And then you call your friend 2 weeks later to see how he has been. And he says, I understand about the food, babe, but we're still friends. With a hip hop, the hippie to the hippie, the hip hip, the hoppy, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang. You can say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I said, Hank, can you rock? Can you rock to the rhythm that just don't stop? Or can you hit me too? The shoo-be-doo. I said, I come on, make the people move. I go to the hoses and ring the bell because I am the man with the clientele. And if you ask me why, I rock so well in Big Bang. I got clientele from the time I was old to 6 years old. I never forgot what I was told. It was the best advice that I ever had. It came from my wife's dear old dad. He said, sit down, punk, I want to talk to you. And don't say a word until I'm due. Now there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live and a time to die, a time to break and a time to chill, to act civilized or act real ill. But whatever you do in your lifetime, you never let an MC steal your rhyme. So from 66 to this very day, I'll always remember what it had to say. So when the sucker MCs try to jump my style, I let them know that I'm versatile. I got style for them and a little black book. It's filled with rhymes and I know you want to look. But the thing that separates you from me, and that is all originality, because my rhymes are on. From what you've heard, I didn't even bite, not a dot word. And I say a little more later on tonight, so the sucker MCs can fight all night. I take a shot, y'all, a beat, y'all, and let's rock, y'all. Get no stop, go hotel, motel, or what you gonna do today?
Say what?
I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some swag and drive off in a death. Oh, yeah, everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl stops acting up, then you take her friend. I like that, y'all. To the beat, y'all. A beat, beat, y'all. You know, stop. I'm Master G. I'm on Melo. It's on you. So what you gonna do?
Well, I like the ain't costing on the late show. I like fucking rocking in stereo. I like the bar case singing Holy Ghost. The sound of those sounds. I definitely the most. Isn't like my man, Captain Sky. His name's the Earn with the Super Sperm. We rock and we don't stop. Get off. I'm here to give you what you got to the beat that it makes you freak. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. I like a Pepsi Mason without a case, like Sarah Foster without her face, like the bar case on the mic, like getting like down for you to not like moving your body so you don't know how. Like to the rhythm and slow down, like coming alive to the Master G, the brother who rocks so viciously. And at the age of one, my life begun. At the age of two, I was doing it too. At the age of three, it was you and me. Rocking to the sounds of the Master G. At the age of four, I was on the floor, giving all the people what they bargained for. At the age of five, I didn't take no jobs with the Master G. So the way live. At the age of six, I wasn't picking up sticks. Rapping to the beat, my thing was good. At the age of seven, I was rocking in heaven, don't you know? I went off, I gotta run on down to the beat, you see, getting right on down, making all the girls just take off the car to the beat, to beat, to the double beat, beat that makes you free. At the age of eight, I was a really great, so living like to see. I am the definite beat to life.
It's your boy Van Silk. And in our lifetime, we are all considered geniuses. So I'm down with the movement called Genius is Common. What's my genius? I was one of the, from the first generation of hip-hop promoters, I was one of the last promoters. To all my peers of the Ray Chandlers and AJs and Man Diplight and Mike and Dave and Sandwich and Inner City Disco and to Nubian Productions. And I kept things popping. My genius is that I was told I could never put together the first pay-per-view special for black music, which was Rapamania. 55 acts, that was $2.5 million. My second genius, and what I said was the Rakim versus Big Daddy Kane and LL versus Kool Moe Dee. Yeah, it didn't happen because certain participants felt that they didn't want to battle, but the money was there. So my third genius for TV was putting together Sisters in the Name of Rap. That was all the females available in 1991, which I did with John Cher, who did Woodstock 2. My fourth genius is, yes, I've ran record labels, worked at record labels. The last label I worked at, I was supposed to be working on getting Lauryn Hill's album out in Bridge Cross. Still to this day, Lauryn Hill haven't dropped that album when RCA sent me out to work at Rough House Record with Joe Niccolo. There's a lot of genius in everybody. From the urban modeling game, from working with Buffy the Body, to Hoops, to Esther Baxter, to Gloria Velez, to Sunday Carter, to Brooke Bailey, to creating Titanium Girls magazine, to working with Compton's Most Wanted and helping them with their deal, to working with my boys Prince Vince and them out of Detroit, to working with the DBL crew out of Atlantic City. That's the genius. The genius is that you continue on putting things together. The naysayers will say, yo, all talk and no action. Where's your action? I done proved myself. Put ideas in the collective bargaining together because you got to be a genius. Never let nobody say that you can't do nothing. But in the end, in order to be a genius and for it to be common, you got to be fair. If it's about you, you're going to fail. If it ain't about a collective bargaining, then genius is common. This is your boy, Van Silk. There's a lot of surprises coming in 2017. Genius is common. And to all you people that want to tell me you want to book me for speaking and all psychologists, my genius is Paulette Cunningham is my manager and agent. Get in touch with her. Van Silk is out. Bruce George, genius is common. I'm out, y'all. That's it.
Greetings. My name is Bruce George, and I'm the founder of the slogan, Genius is Common. The word genius is an elitist word. Of the elitist, for the elitist, and by the elitist. And what Genius is Common basically is doing is it is tearing down the Berlin Wall of the word genius. What I would like for you to do is to join us around the world in tearing that elitist word down and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. In actuality, we are all geniuses. We all have a genius seat. Some call it God, some call it other things. You take a young lady who's from an inner city project, housing project, who microbraids hair like Picasso painted, that's her genius. You take a gentleman that has been buffing floors for over 40 years where the floor looks like it's wet but it's dry, that's his genius. What we're doing around the world is we are uploading videos to YouTube expressing what our individual genius is. We would love for you to join us with this campaign. When you upload your video, make sure that you include the hashtag #GeniusIsCommon and GeniusIsCommon.com. We're looking forward to you being a part of this movement. Signing off, Bruce George, founder of the slogan Genius is Common.